As we continue on golf today, some images from yesterday in Frisco, Texas, as Minjee Lee captured the title in the KPMG Women's PGA Championship, and in doing so, earned her third career major championship victory, building quite the resume at the age of 29, 11-time winner on the LPGA U.S. Girls Champion, Olympian, and a two-time winner of the Australian Women's Amateur Championship as well. And Amanda Blumenhurst joins us now. She was a part of the coverage from Frisco. It's great to see you, Amanda. There's so much talk about the course setup and the wind and the length, and there was Minjee Lee head down getting the job done. What impressed you the most about her mental approach to the week?
It was absolutely incredible. The wind, I cannot begin to really describe. We were on the desk and papers were flying off. I mean, we were having just paperweights everywhere and it was impossible to keep anything down. I could not imagine playing golf in those conditions. Minjee in round three went bogey free. It was the most impressive round of golf I think I've ever seen in a really, really long time. She lives now in the Dallas area. And being in a very windy part of Australia, she has said multiple times throughout the week that she just had so much practice up until that point in those windy conditions. So this wasn't anything new for her. And you could also see Gino Titicoon, who also resides in Dallas, had a little bit of an edge up on the rest of the field. Minjee's ball control is impressive, but it was really the mental. It just seemed like she even said it was fun out there, which was... I mean, we were shaking our head. We would not think that would be fun at all to play in those conditions. It was windier than anything I think I've ever even played when we went over and played the AIG Women's Open, the old course at St. Andrews, Carnoustie. This took the cake, so it made it even more impressive.
So you talked about her ball control, which was impressive. What about on and around the greens, the variety of shots she hit from the bunkers, the putts that she made? How dialed in was her short game?
Well, I think back to round three. It was the windiest day. It was the day that she really separated herself. And it was also the windiest day. It was bogey free, like I mentioned. She went 7 for 7 in scrambling, 3 for 3 out of the bunkers. Her touch around the greens, she was creative. And it was also then, I mean, you look at her putting, the amount of just how much better she's gotten, even just stats-wise, last year being 137th in strokes gained in putting. This year going into this week, she was 5th on the field, or 5th on tour in strokes gained putting. She led the field in strokes gained putting this week. I mean, to have that big of an improvement on the putting green is unreal. And Minjee, her entire career, has been one of the absolute best ball strikers on the LPGA Tour. Whether it's off the tee or it's greens and regulation, strokes gained approach, that's always been a strength of hers. But we've seen in past, and especially in past majors, the putter really let her down when she needed it the most. And that can also reflect the not getting up and down when you're not making those short putts for par. That was not the case at all this week. And it hasn't been since she switched to that broomstick putter. She is in control with her putting, and it was so fun to watch because she did miss greens. Everyone was missing greens. There was no way to be perfect on this golf course with the amount of wind, with how challenging the setup was, with how firm the greens were. Almost impossible on some holes to keep them on the green. They were so, so firm. So she was able to rely on that incredible short game that has improved so much.
Well, big picture then, do you think she belongs in the conversation with the Nelly Cordas, the Gino Titicons, the Lydia Kos as one of the best players in the world? Is she a legitimate, perhaps, rival, for example, to Nelly Korda?
All right, so last night on our post-game coverage, I made the big claim that even though her Rolex ranking doesn't reflect it, she is in the top three, in my opinion, on the LPGA Tour, and you named some of them. It is definitely Nelly Korda, Gino Titicoon, and Minjee Lee, in my opinion. Those are the top three on the LPGA Tour. She has been just knocking on the door this year to start really winning, but this week, with the way she played from tee to green, puts her in that top three.
Amanda, you played out there. You're a three-time National Player of the Year from Duke. It just seems like sometimes concordant in with these major championships is the discussion about, oh, the golf course was too long. You know, the rounds took too long to play. How did you think the week kind of went outside the ropes in terms of the talking points? Because it seems like sometimes the winner can be obscured when the talk is about, oh, the golf course played like this or that.
So the golf course, particularly the first two rounds, when you had teaching pros in the field, there are 157 players. It was in the mid to high 90s. The winds were gusting up to 30 miles an hour. The setup was too long and too hard to get. I mean, that's why we saw 6.5 hour rounds, making the turn in 3 hours and 15 minutes. That was just not the time to make Sunday pin placements on a Friday. I kind of play devil's advocate a little bit. I want to see higher scores in majors. It's a major championship. The golf course is supposed to be difficult. It is supposed to be a challenge. I like seeing players have to really think around the greens, not go for the pin. You could say, all right, you know, I might only be 120 yards from the pin, but the smart play is 30 feet to the right, not pin seeking. It's a unique 5 events a year where the golf courses really should be difficult. And we saw that on the weekend when the field was narrowed down after the cut. The pin placements actually got maybe a little bit easier, still a very long golf course. And what was such a challenge is that the greens were so, so firm, but the wind was playing like it was AIG Women's Open over on link-style golf courses, but it wasn't a link-style golf course. So you couldn't run up these balls. The Bermuda was grabbing so quickly in the front of these greens. So that was the challenge. And you heard that from a lot of the players, that they enjoyed the hard golf course setup. They enjoyed the wind, but the fact that it was together and it was Bermuda grass made it a challenge. And it really was, unfortunately, a big part of the discussion all week. Instead of really getting excited in round four and talking about Gino Titicoon and Minji Lee and who could win this major, a lot of our time was spent on the fact that the course was not set up for women and it was too long, and the pin placements, especially the first 2 days, were too difficult for how firm the greens were. But you look at that leaderboard, it was the top players in the country. You had Gino Titicoon and Minji Lee kind of feeling they had match play until Minji really pulled away in round four. So the leaderboard provided a great leaderboard and a great major champion.
Yeah, it was a big-time challenge for all the players. Minji Lee came up with all the right answers. Great job, Amanda. Great to spend some time with you. We'll speak to you down the road. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
All right, folks, let's check in on the Epson Tour now. The road to the LPGA. Melanie Greene shot a final round 7-under-65 to earn her first professional victory in the Island Resort Championship. Greene's final round was bogey-free and included 5 birdies in her first 11 holes. The win moves her to 4th in the race for the card rankings at the halfway point of the Epson Tour season. Now coming up next on Golf Today, Todd Lewis stops by to give his thoughts on Sunday at the Travelers. What's next for U.S. Ryder Cup captain Keegan Bradley? And is he ready to be a playing captain? We'll discuss. We're back on Golf Today. What a scene on Sunday in Cromwell, Connecticut, as Keegan Bradley, the New Englander, sank a birdie at the last hole to claim victory in the Travelers Championship for the second time. It was Keegan's first career win in a signature event. And that's it. Signature events are done. You see the lineup? Quite a list, by the way. Hideki, Rory, Ludwig, Russell, JT, Sepp, Scotty, and Keegan Bradley. Great to be joined now by our own Todd Lewis. Always great to pick your brain. I tell you, it could be a complicated time for Keegan Bradley, but he sure is making things simple. What have you learned about Keegan Bradley in this latest incarnation and latest victory?
I'll be honest. We were a little, I think all of us were, apprehensive when Keegan Bradley was surprisingly named the United States Ryder Cup captain. I was concerned how we'd be able to handle the off-the-course distractions while still trying to play a full PGA Tour schedule. As an elite player, by the way, he's not somebody who's in the fall of his career. And I've been impressed by the way he's been able to handle it, saying yesterday after his victory with Rich Lerner and Brandon Chamblee, and the fact that, yes, he's so busy off the golf course that he actually finds peace and tranquility inside the ropes on the golf course. And it's interesting now that peace that he has found on the golf course is causing him more stress now off the golf course because everybody wants him on the team. But he's handled himself beautifully, and I think he has gained, not that they didn't have respect for him prior to that announcement, but I think all the United States players have tremendous respect now for Keegan Bradley.
Todd, with as tied in as you are, you just used the phrase that everybody wants him on the team. Are you concerned at all about those distractions perhaps overcoming him if he were to put himself on the team or if he were to qualify accordingly? Where do you stand on all of that?
Well, I heard you guys talking about this on Golf Today earlier, and yes, there are some things that you have to consider. Number one, Keegan Bradley hasn't been in a Ryder Cup team room since 2014. Now, he was in the President's Cup in Montreal, of course, which, of course, was just last year. But Ryder Cup is a different animal. So he's going to have to reacclimate himself with the pressure, the intensity of the Ryder Cup. Doing that as captain is intense enough. But it will be challenging if he indeed is on that team as a playing captain. There's no doubt about it because, yes, you talked about the fact that he'll have to do all the media requirements as a captain. He will have to set the lineups. So there's a lot to do besides, and by the way, working on how to hit an 8-iron 165 yards. So he's got a lot on his plate if indeed that is the path that he decides to go down. However, he has capable assistants, and I'm going to lean heavily on Jim Furyk. Jim Furyk obviously is very involved with the United States Ryder Cup team and the United States team in general. He's been there. He knows what it takes to be a captain. And Keegan Bradley looks up to him tremendously. He is going to be kind of the father figure type for Keegan Bradley in this environment. So if Keegan does decide to put himself on the team, and I think he will lean on the six that qualify as to whether or not he should be on that team, Jim Furyk's going to play a huge role.
You make some great points, T. Lou, but the other side of the coin might say there's a Paul McGinley who'd love to see Keegan be a playing captain. There are probably 12 Europeans who would love to see Keegan be a playing captain just because of the unknowns, the potential complications. The Europeans seem to have this streamlined system. Is there a potential perhaps for conflict, fear of the unknown, that we don't know how crazy it could be, and that maybe we should listen to Paul McGinley when he says, hey, yeah, we'd love to see Keegan have that role?
Well, we all love Paul McGinley. He's a great friend of mine, too. He has a rooting interest for Team Europe, and you completely understand that. But you'd be hard-pressed to make me change my mind that Keegan Bradley isn't one of the top 12 players in the United States. He probably deserves to be on that team. And we're going to find out a little more about that this week because he's currently in the field to play the Rocket Classic. But could it be a distraction? Again, I think Jim Furyk is going to play a key role. I think he's going to play a huge role. He could probably be the pseudo-captain. You know, I would say, obviously, Keegan is captain one, and Jim Furyk is 1A. That's how close that will be. But, yeah, I mean, look, the United States team, they're a very top-heavy, positive team, led by Scottie Scheffler. But depth-wise, there are some concerns compared to Team Europe, especially if you consider experience. But at the same time, it balances out in the fact that you're going to have the New York USA crowd. I will say this. I can't wait to get there. I mean, it's going to be one of the greatest sporting events of 2025. Not golf events, sporting events. So it's something that I can't wait to get to, and I'm sure the players can as well.
Todd, I wanted to ask you one more question about Keegan and what you've observed. You mentioned the fact that it's been, 11 years since he was on a United States Ryder Cup team. But this is a 39-year-old Keegan Bradley, and the way that he handled his emotions, the way that he compartmentalized when the chants were coming in of Team USA, really from the first hole yesterday right through 18, he didn't allow that full purging, the catharsis of emotion until that birdie putt sunk at 18. Any thoughts on who Keegan Bradley is, 2025 edition?
Well, I go back to what I said initially when we brought up Keegan Bradley. Because this was such a surprise, I wasn't sure how he would handle it. Keegan Bradley is a world-class player, very smart person, a very loyal person to his friends, his family. I mean, just a quality player, an even better person. But he has handled it so well. I mean, so well. I mean, there's so many things that you have to be as a captain. He was the very first of the captains to organize a team dinner at the Truist Championship, and he invited Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, he just completely eliminated the borders between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf and said, no, if you're a possibility to be on my team, I want you all here, and we're gonna talk about fighting for each other. We're going to talk about what we want in a team room with camaraderie. Look, I think he's handled himself beautifully, especially somebody who's never been, like I said, in a team room for as a vice captain, at least. So I think he's going to be a positive intangible for the United States, not to mention what he does on the golf course. So, yeah, I think he should be on the team. I really do. I think he's a great player and a great asset.
T. Lou, Tommy Fleetwood has accomplished so much in this game. Seven DP World Tour wins, Ryder Cup glory. He now has 42 top 10 finishes. I can't believe I'm saying that. Six runner-up finishes on the PGA Tour. Where does he go from here?
I think he's going to use this as a positive. It's obviously very devastating for him. If you watch him play that 18th hole yesterday, right in the middle of the fairway, first off, when he hit the shot, I was noticing the flag. And the flag was into both him and Keegan Bradley. He decided to go with a wedge. Maybe didn't adjust properly to that wind. Maybe thought adrenaline would take over. But then he seemed like he was just a tad quick with his birdie attempt, and then obviously this par attempt that didn't fall. Look, I will say this about Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy Fleetwood is a class player. I mean, if you go back to the beginning of the year when certain players were saying to the media, we don't owe you anything, okay, that's fine. But Tommy Fleetwood, after that gut-wrenching loss where he led a large majority of the holes in that tournament, went right to the media, was candid, was honest, probably was therapeutic for him, and opened up to the media, which was a vessel to the fans, showed his heart, showed his head. And I think he will be a better player from this. Yeah. I think he's going to win on the PGA Tour probably multiple times. And this could be a springboard for him to do so and understanding what it takes down the stretch mentally, emotionally, mechanically, strategically, to cross the threshold and win on the PGA Tour. But he's too good a player, too experienced a player to fade and use this as something that's going to be a negative to him.
Yeah, said he was gutted, hurt, angry, but also said he would use it as a positive. Great stuff from Todd Lewis. And as T. Lou mentioned, the PGA Tour is in the Motor City this week for the Rocket Classic. You can catch live first round coverage from Detroit Golf Club this Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Golf Channel.